Matthew chapter 6. I have had this on my heart for a long time and have just been kind of waiting for God to give the green light to do it. And I really feel this is a good time for us to look. We're going to take quite a number of Sundays to look at this. We're going to look at God's design for your financial life. God's design for your financial life. Notice I didn't say your design. Okay. What is God's design? What is His will? What are His paths? What are His principles? All right. Now, if you're new to this church or if you're visiting this church, I know sometimes churches like ours that have miracle in the name or fire or Holy Ghost and we clap during songs, and it's said sometimes of churches like ours, oh, all you talk about is money. Well, today we are. And we are for a few weeks. Now, why are we going to do that? Because if you look at the Word of God, it is a big deal to God. And we have to admit it is a big deal in our life. All right. There, I like what T.D. Jakes says, money gives you options in life. All right. And some people use it for bad options, make bad decisions. But God wants to use it for His purposes in your life. And really it's the heart of God. It's the nature of God. It's the love of God that we would walk in all of the purposes that He has for every area of our life. Now look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Why does God care about this? Because He cares about you. Right, Matthew 6, verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing? And we could preach five sermons on why do you worry about clothing. All right. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So he cares for human beings more than He does flowers, more than He does grass. Verse 31, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? All right, the stuff of life, right? Paying bills. For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He goes on to say, seek first the kingdom. So God cares about this aspect of our life because He cares for us. He knows that this is something that we need to live our life. But we have to do things His way. All right. So He cares for you. Now, we need God's guidance. We need His strategy. All right. He wants His heart to be our heart when it comes to finances. All right. And this is one area. Jesus said this. He said, where your heart is, there your money will be also. And it's one of the things in life that, affects us. Quite a deal, and we see what's in our heart displayed very, very much. All right. So what is God's design for our financial life? What is His purpose? And what I'm going to kind of give you a sneak preview and a spoiler alert is that as we go into the Word of God, you're going to discover some purposes that God has that are not necessarily perhaps your purposes today. So what do? We change our mind. We say, God, you know what? I want your purposes, not my way, but your way. Your will be done in my life. All right. So what we want to do is to take time to look in the Word of God to understand God's destination. All right. So if you got in a car today and you said, all right, I want to get to Chirundu border. All right. So you've set the destination. Because you know the destination, then that determines all of the routes that you will take to get there. All right. So if you have the wrong destination, oh, I think I'm going to Mongu. Guess what? You will take the wrong route to Chirundu. If you have the wrong destination, you will surely be on the wrong path. And what I think sometimes happens in Christian circles is we choose the destination. And then we say, God, bless my path. God, you know, give me some anointing for this path. I'll put some oil on the path and holy water on the path and make declarations about my path. You're going to the wrong city. You're going to the wrong place. And God is not interested in blessing the wrong path for your life. Amen. It's kind of like the same thing. If you are single and not kissing, hallelujah, you're going to get that message today. I'm going to punish the devil for tripping me up last week. All right, so, but if you are dating someone, courting someone who doesn't love God, doesn't love God's purposes, is not interested in the Word of God in any way, all right, and you say, oh, God, bless this relationship. God, bless my marriage. Pastor William is anointed, but he can't bless that marriage. I can't say, and it shall be. Mm-mm. It's got the wrong ingredients. Okay, you can't fix it. All right? So just get on the right path. Get to the right destination. And so we're going to discover that together from God's Word. Amen? All right. And here's the thing. We just have to recognize and realize that as human beings, not the recreated person that God made us, not who we are in Christ, but just our carnal fleshly self, we like to get our own way, don't we? And we have a tendency to be stubborn and stiff-necked. But here's the problem is sometimes when we're doing that, we consider our way the right way. Okay, Proverbs 12:15. Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. So who are we going to listen to? It really is not about my opinion about money in your financial life. It's God's opinion. It's what God wants. And so it's okay to desire what God wants for our life. So my path is correct. So I want to get to a certain destination financially. And so on my path, there might be greed, corruption, graft, lying, exploiting the poor. These are all things that God condemns. But what do we say? Looks right to me. It looks right to me. It's a true story. A friend of mine here in town, Bishop, told me that, and you know, from time to time, you know, he would consult us. This was a long time ago, 20 years ago-ish, you know. So it's not from today's newspapers, all right? But he would sometimes, you know, be able to speak into a certain person's life and try to help them grow spiritually and those kinds of things. But then there was this other pastor that came to see certain leader and said, hey, don't worry about corruption. Don't worry about stealing and skimming off the top. Using your permission, position for your own thing. He says, because here's the thing, you've been sowing, and now it's your time to reap. No. See, reaping is a God thing, but it's done God's way. And you don't exploit people at UTH to reap for yourself. That doesn't work. That is not biblical. But here's the problem. Sometimes we think it's right. Because at the end of the day, there's a 4x4. Or a new flat or something like that. All right. In our heart, there may be things like covetousness. Allowing others to take advantage of us. Being manipulated in our finances. All right. Through guilt. And it seems like the right thing. We're going to discover from God's Word, it's not the right thing. It's not the right path that God has for you. So what is God's design? What is His plan? All right. So we go to the Word of God. Amen. Now, I've been in and around church circles pretty much my whole life. And the variety of things that I've heard about money in churches, I would say this, it's astronomical, the range Okay. In church, you know, what I've heard about marriage and sexual purity, it doesn't matter where I go or what denomination or what kind of book, it's relatively the same. Love your wife. Be faithful to your wife. Say no to sin. Say no to the world. All right. It's kind of a consistent message. All right. But depending on your church background or not church background or what Christian TV you tune into, woo. I'm not talking about the world has confused you. The church has confused you about God's destination for your money and his purpose and his design and his path. All right. So let me just read to you. I'm going to read to you, I think, 8 scriptures. All right. And realize that all of these are God's word. But how many of you know that there's a whole range of what God says? All right. Psalm 50, verse 10. Psalm 50, verse 10. You can just jot these down. We'll have them on the screen. For all the animals of the forest are mine. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. That's a lot of cows. All right. You'd like to get Lobola from God. All right. Luke 12:15. Jesus is speaking and he says, beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. How many of the world really doesn't believe that? Okay. They truly believe the opposite of that statement by Jesus. Psalm 112:1-3. Psalm 112:1-3. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Isn't that awesome? Your kids have a big destiny. Verse 3. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. I believe that's our spiritual riches. It says your house. Like there's stuff in your house. What was it? Jesus said, but our stuff is not who we are. You see how this can get confusing real fast? Matthew 28:11, Jesus says, you will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Deuteronomy 28:11. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods, the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your ground, in the land in which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. Jesus said there's always going to be poor people at church. Yet, God says, I'm going to give you, like, plenty of stuff. Don't leave church just yet. No, we're not going to leave you confused, all right. Matthew 8:20, Jesus said, foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head. Job 42:12, so the Lord blessed Job in the second half of his life. So who did the blessing? The Lord did. What did the blessing look like? For now he had 14,000 sheep. That's a lot of sweaters and jerseys. 6,000 camels, 10,000 teams of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. Luke 18:22, Jesus speaking to a rich guy. He said, there's one thing you haven't done. Sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. And you're thinking, I bind that in... I can't bind it in Jesus' name because Jesus said it. So I bind that in my name or something. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you are confused about money, really, really honestly, some of your confusion may have come from going to church. Okay, it may have come from Christian authors and Christian speakers. All right, now, but let's kind of pause here. If we are confused, is that God's will? It is not. Let's ask ourselves this question. Is God confused about his plan for your finances? No, no, no. All right. So if we're confused, if things seem hazy, if we're like, well, what about this? All right. That is not a problem that God has today. All right. So the good news is, if we are confused, if we are of two minds, we don't have to be. All right? We can submit our heart, our mind, our beliefs to God and to the Scriptures, and we can discover what He wants. Amen. And the wonderful thing is what God wants, it's good. Amen? So, look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And how many of you want to grow in your life with God? In your life with God. I mean, you came to the first service, right? Okay, so I'm asking the wrong group of people. Okay. So, we want this, all right? So, there are ways in which that happens. And Romans 12 gives us one of the most clear ways that we walk in God's will and His purpose for our life. Romans 12, 1 and 2. So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you. Yeah, Pastor, I want that. Me too. All right, so how's that going to happen? Pastor, just lay hands on me. Let God transform me. Well, here's the way He transforms us. He transforms us into a new person by changing the way you think. Changing the way you think. Say this, I'm willing to change. Amen. Now here's the thing. You know, do we want change in our finances? Oh, yes, 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 yes. Actually, not so much change as hard currency, Pastor. You know. Right? No? Okay, so what does God want to do? He wants to change the way we think about money, about finances, about our finances, and about God's purpose. Now, when this happens, when we are being transformed, it's the Greek word metamorphosis, all right? This caterpillar becomes a butterfly. Things really, really, really can change, all right? As we change the way we think. So then what happens as a result? Then you will learn to know God's will for you. You will know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. It's good and it's pleasing and it's perfect. All right. So it doesn't mean that, you know, somebody from the pulpit or somebody, you know, a man of God or a woman of God, they know and you don't know. No. You will know as your mind is changed that this is God's will. This is God's path. This is God's destination. And you know what you'll discover? And this is so true. It is good and it is pleasing and it's perfect. Now, good, pleasing, perfect is as God defines good, pleasing, and perfect. Right? Because some of you are thinking, oh, what would be good? What would be good? It'd be good to have like 20 million pounds and I could live on the Mediterranean, never work a day in my life. Not work? Well, that's not good. You're thinking, oh, that's good. No, God doesn't think that's good. That's not His plan. He put something in you to work, to do something, to create. Oh, no, I'd like to live on the Mediterranean and just look at the ocean. I know I've had those days too, all right? But that's not good. That's not pleasing. That's not His will, all right? So we understand God's will for ourselves. Amen, all right? So it's as He defines good, all right? So where will we go to learn God's will and His plan and His path for our finances? Where do we go? Do we go to our past? Do we go to tradition? All right. Do we go to the self-help section of the bookstore? That's not in our bookstore, but you know. Do we learn God's will from a slick talking prophet? Wouldn't know the Bible if it hit him in the face. Okay. Yeah, I'm talking about that one. Yeah, that one. Okay. Do we learn God's will financially from the econ class that we took at university? Do we discover God's will? There might be some really awesome things there. But where do we go to discover God's will? We go to His Word. All right. We don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Now, this is my feeling. Okay, first of all, does the world have customs and behaviors when it comes to money? Does the world have kind of entrenched ways? Woo, boy, does it ever. It really, really does. All right. And we must be willing to repent of false beliefs. We must be willing to go and have different behavior than the world has when it comes to our finances. All right? And what we have to admit, and I have to admit, is the world has taught us some things. It really has taught us some things the wrong things about money. All right. Now, the other thing is sometimes the world sometimes is consistent with God's word. All right. And that happens sometimes by accident. All right. Or just by trial and error. But we let God's word be the final authority. Okay. So let's admit some things, before we really look in the next couple of weeks. We all have desires, don't we? Financially, we have expectations. All right. And we have to realize that money has the power to evoke incredible emotions, don't we? All right. Sometimes, you know, I've seen people, you know, with just incredible joy and happiness or incredible depression around the subject of money. All right. Now, I saw this example. My buddy Denzel had some emotions about money. Just read that. You ever felt that way? Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys. All right. So, boy, does it can affect our hearts. It can affect how we feel. Some of you are, now you're having to rebuke the devil because now there's all these faces of people that you've got that look about, right? So we have beliefs. We've got mindsets, all right? Some of us in this room, you know, we were raised in a certain home, and we learned things there, all right? Some of us, God, you know, in our homes, our parents were in a position to provide education. And, boy, I tell you, my wife and I are so, so blessed that we were in homes where that happened, okay? Well, guess what? Some of you are in homes where that didn't happen, okay? And you feel like, I don't know if I really have enough education to do the things that I want to do or to earn the money or to run the business, all right? So some of us have had head starts. Some of us have had setbacks. Some of us have made good decisions, bad decisions, all right? There's kind of a big soup of all these different things in our life financially. All right. So what we do is we recognize them and say, you know what? I'm going to submit all of that to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, to the authority of His word. And so we come and we do that. All right. So, and really what we do is it's just like so many other areas of our life that if you've been at Miracle Life very long, that we have challenged you and taught you and tried, sometimes rebuked you and pleaded with you. Hey, in the area of your relationships, do them God's way. Do your relationships God's way. All right. When it comes to marriage, do your marriage God's way. Don't let the world influence you when it comes to sexual purity. I mean, that what they think and what they do, we've got another way. Amen. And so we're going to basically just do the same thing financially. Jesus said this when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And so the first part of praying that prayer is that we have to realize we have a will and it might be contrary to God's will. Okay. And we have to be willing to say, God, whatever you want, That's what I want. All right. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, the Lord's Prayer. Some of you prayed this every Sunday growing up. I did. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God's will is not automatically happening on the earth. We have to pray this prayer. We have to trust this for our own life. We have to realize that there are certain areas of my, where I just have to say, whoa, that is not God's will. And Father, I choose your will. I choose your plan for my life. Okay? If we did a survey today in the first service, how many of you know there would be a lot? There'd be a huge range of what we believed and did and acted in our finances. Okay? So a huge range. So it comes from the past. It comes from our experience. All right. It comes from what we think is right. All right. Or what somebody else's experience that we think is right. Our church background, our theology. Okay. So we discover God's will from the pages of Scripture, not from current opinion, not from religious ideas. The Bible says your word is truth. All right. Now, have you ever discovered in God's word that some of what God says is easier to accept than others? Okay. So as a single person, I remember I kind of put two and two together one time, and it says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. All right. Well, what is a good thing that, as God defines good? He that finds a wife finds a good thing. You're my good thing. You make my heart sing. So I put two and two together. Whoa. God calls that a good thing. He says he won't withhold a good thing. So, woohoo! Great day of Bible reading. Great day. Awesome. Thank you, God. Oh, man, I'm going to read more of the Bible. Fantastic. And then we turn over to another portion of the Bible. Do good to those who hate you. I think that was taken out of context. Bless those who despitefully use you. Jesus had to say it twice in different ways because he knew the first time, they're not going to believe it the first time I say it. How many of the world that we live in is steeped in vengeance? Woo! I mean, it's just marinated in it. And sometimes we are, aren't we? My name is Indigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. Huh? And we see that movie and we're like, oh, you betcha. You come on now. Yeah. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And God, I will be your tool to be used on the earth. Right? So we just have to admit that there are certain portions of scripture, all right, and so some of you come into the kingdom of God, and wherever, if you're married or not married or whatever, and you start reading the pages of scripture and says, okay, God says, all right, when you're single, when you're unmarried, no sex of any kind ever. Like, run from it. That's literally, flee. Run. Hussein Bolt, right? Just run. And then when you get married, then you have sex with one person until you die. How's that sound? Some people are like, no way, man. I'm going to another church. I'm going to First Church of what I want to do. Okay? So we just have to admit that certain portions of the Bible are easier to accept than others. Okay? And so I'm just kind of giving you a warning. As you come back in the weeks to come, there are going to be some Sundays where you probably wish you wouldn't have come to church. Because it might make you a little mad. All right. No, this is my way. No, it's God's way. And what do we know about God's way? It's good. It's pleasing. It's perfect. So don't trust me. Trust him. Okay, because his way is so, so wonderful for him, for his kingdom, and for us. All right. So, I was kind of just reflecting that in my exposure and to Christianity, I was around a certain group of people. And I'm telling you, these people were born again. They loved Jesus. They displayed some of the most incredible fruits of the Spirit that I've ever seen in my life, even today. And so there is no doubt these people were born again. All right. But when it came to money, they held a belief and expressed this belief that really the less money you had, that was a fruit of the Spirit. Okay, that was a sign of being spiritual, was to constantly struggle for money. Okay, and the more, the less ostentatious, the less bling, the less colorful than you could be, then that was also a fruit of the Spirit. Okay, so no makeup on ladies' faces. Okay, very plain clothing. No prints of any kind, just a solid color. Okay, and it has to come, when you go to the fabric shop, you have to go to the aisle that says boring colors. So like green, that's just like the green, or brown, but not even like a rich brown, just a bleh brown, you know. And they lived that way. All right. If you had, if your eyes were, you know, needed magnification or, you know, glasses or something like that, then you needed to go to the eye store and say, I'm interested in your ugly glasses. I'm interested in the glasses that make me look, I'm thinking homely, non-attractive. They don't suit my face. I'm not making this up. I wish I was. All right. These people are still alive. They are still doing their thing. Okay. Now, are they Christians? Are they believers? Absolutely. They're going to go to heaven. All right. And then they're going to rebuke God for streets of gold. Yeah. They're going to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb and say, whoa, this is a lot of wasted food here. And so they had beliefs, traditions, mindsets about money that they have perpetuated for generations. And here's the thing. They backed most of their beliefs up with Scripture. Okay? Then I've been around another group of people. Born again, they love God. They really, really do. All right? And they would believe and show and live that if you didn't have bling, all right, now if you're over 40, let me explain bling to you. All right. It's wealth that we can see. Okay, so if you have money in the bank, that is what a waste for money. It's gotta be money on your wrist, on your neck. You got to drive the money, show the money, right? That is the only purpose for money, is to show everybody, I've got money, right? And so they would use scriptures and they would say, you know, if you don't live that kind of a lifestyle where everything is just blinged out, you're in sin. You're missing God's best. And you certainly can't witness to the world, because the world will never listen to someone that's not wearing an Armani suit with the latest hairstyle and is able to say, you know, oh, it was a great vacation last week in Italy. And so the world, and so bling is an evangelism tool. I've heard that. How many of you kind of heard a little bit? You know, some, oh yeah, I went. Last week I heard it, you know. So, wait a second, but they're using scriptures. But then the plain people are using scriptures. What's up? Right? Well, we need to see what God has to say. Look at Acts 20, verse 27. Acts 20, verse 27. Okay, now, here's the thing. The longer I've lived and been involved in church work and heard people's theology and different things and the Bible, is that sometimes what is dangerous is not that you heard one or two things about money from the Bible. It's that you didn't hear the other 22. Okay? Is that you only hear what you like. Okay? It's like the husband whose favorite Bible verse is, "Wives, submit to your own husbands." Now that, that's a good Bible verse. Oh, and he knows the Greek. He could quote 10 commentaries on that. The only problem is, you can't do it. It wasn't written to you. It might as well not even be in the man Bible. Oh, no, Pastor. It's my job to get my wife to do it. No. It doesn't say, husbands, make sure that your wives submit. How many of you, that is not in the Bible? Some of you, you're turning to Ephesians 5 right now. It is in the Bible. Oh, yeah, it's not in the Bible. No, see, that's her verse to do, right? And so sometimes people find out one or two principles, one or two truths from the Bible, and then they just eat it all the time. Okay? There was a person, I guess it was kind of in the 80s, the 90s, and you know, there's kind of health phases and crazes and fads that people do. You know, eat this and eat that and all your dreams will come true when you do this. And so these folks, and I'm sure there's some good stuff to it, but they said, all right, you need to juice everything. Get all your vegetables. Don't worry about a salad. Just grind them up. All right. And this one guy, he started doing juicing and he loved carrot juice. He loved carrot juice. All right. And so he's, and he's just, all he's doing is drinking carrot juice all day long. And after a few weeks, I saw him. And he looked orange like a clown. Now, carrot juice is not necessarily wrong. But if that's all you're eating and all you're drinking, you're going to go fluorescent. Okay? I'm passing up such a good joke right now. You should be proud of me. Okay. Lord help me. Okay. So people find out one or two principles about money from the Bible, and then they, you know, we shouldn't be greedy. Oh, don't be greedy. And then it ends up with, I wear plain clothes and ugly glasses. Aren't you happy, God? No, God says, get another pair of glasses. I created red. Go wear red. Yeah. I mean, I created the giraffe. I mean, all kinds of patterns. Go get something like that. Enjoy your life. Life is not boring. I'm not boring. I didn't create you to be boring. But why? Why do we do it? Because we're just drinking carrot juice. All right. And then somebody else. And so their entire life is consumed with money and living it up and living it, all that money out on the outside. All right. They may have discovered one or two things from the Bible, but whoa, they are ignoring a ton to be able to live that lifestyle. Okay? So I want to encourage you, don't miss a sermon in this series. All right, if you're away or something like that, download it off the internet, get it from the bookshop. Acts 20, 27. Acts 20, 27. These were leaders from Ephesus that Paul was speaking to for the very last time. All right, and he says this. He said, I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Everybody say the whole. Okay. I don't know the home you grew up in, but the home I grew up in, my mom made us eat everything on the plate. Okay. And we couldn't even have seconds of something until we ate everything. And there were certain things I didn't like to eat. And what did your mom say to you if you didn't like to eat it? Eat it because it's good for you. That is Romans 12, 2. Change the way you think. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? Because it's good for you. It's good. It's acceptable. It's pleasing. I don't like that. It's good. I made it. Eat it. You'll be happy. All right. But you have to embrace the entire counsel of God. Acts 20, 27. Declaring all that God wants you to know. All right. So if we go to the Bible and we don't look at all the money parts, okay, we have not seen the whole picture. We haven't seen the whole picture. Okay. And I think this is just my opinion. I mean, well, there's covetousness, there's greed, there's pride, there's all these other factors. But I think that's where Christians get tripped up in this area of their life, is they don't choose to listen to everything that God has to say about the subject. Okay. How many of you know have you ever been involved in a dispute with two people? All right. And you weren't in the dispute, but you were trying to help. And you hear one person's story and you have a certain opinion, don't you? Then you hear the other person's opinion and you think, did they even tell me the truth or not? Okay. When you get the whole picture is when you really understand what's going on. All right. And the Bible has to be seen in its entirety to get the picture. And I think this is a huge danger in the body of Christ today. All right. Is that there are certain subjects that when they come out, people really embrace them and maybe they've never heard them. And then all they do for the next 10 years is drink carrot juice. Okay. They don't have a balanced diet. All right. I'll give you an example. If you've been a believer for more than, say, 10, 15 years, there are in the body of Christ, there's more, definitely more than 30 years ago, there's more teaching about the grace of God, the love of God. All right. And I grew up fairly legalistically, and I'm really glad about that, because we had a shortage 30, 40 years ago. We had really not much that people were seeing from the Word of God about that. Okay, but what has happened is, while some of what people hear about grace and God's love and our standing with God is true, they ignore other parts of the Bible. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Not by works. Amen. So it doesn't matter what I do. The only way you could think that is by ignoring huge swaths of the New Testament. I can do, drink, do, say, live any way, because I'm forgiven. Well, that's not what Paul said. He proposed all these things about grace, and then he said, stop stealing. Stop lying. Oh, that's legalism. No, it's the New Testament. Okay? Well, which one is true? They're both true. At the same time, true. All right? And so, you know, sometimes maybe you were a kind of a hard, stingy, selfish person, and you discover some things about relationships, and you need to love and forgive and do good. Right? And you start doing that. And then basically everyone around you sees you as an ATM machine with no PIN number. Well, I'm supposed to love. I'm supposed to give all the time. Ooh, the Bible doesn't say that at all. To give to everything? No. There are commands. Do not give and respond to pressure. So when the pressure comes, no giving. No giving. How can you say that? Oh, I'm being obedient to the Bible. All right? Oh, hallelujah. No giving. I'm not going to give to anybody at any time. As soon as offering comes at church, I'm not giving. No. So you have to understand that we love, we serve, we make a difference, but we also appropriately and biblically say no to lots of things. Well, which one is true? They're both true at the same time. And that's really what I believe God's going to do for us in the area of our finances, is we're going to get a complete view of his picture. Okay? So again, if you're confused, don't worry. God is not confused. All right? And here's again, kind of maybe a sneak preview, is that in every principle or provision from the scriptures about finances, every command for us to do, what I believe and what I think you'll see with me from the Bible is with every one of those, there's a warning. There's a warning. Okay? So, just give you an example. Deuteronomy 8. So, God is saying, hey, when you come into the promised land, the land that God gave you, and it's a land where the hills are, there's copper, and there, you're gonna be able to grow stuff. It's not like Egypt. It's not like the wilderness. This is the plan that I have for you. And he says, this is gonna happen. He says, but don't say in your heart, my strength and the might of my hand has given me this wealth. So there's a promise, and it's actually a promise of blessing, but then there is a very clear warning that you might get into pride. You might think that you did this. You may forget the Lord who did this for you. Do you follow me? Okay. And so we have to have those warnings because they keep us safe. All right. Let's ask ourselves a question. Is fire good or bad? It's both, isn't it? Is electricity good or bad? If you think it's only good, you've never come in contact with it, with your flesh. Huh? How many have ever been shocked? Was that good? It was not good. It can be good, but it can be bad if it's not used properly. All right? How many of you know God designed sex? It was his invention. All right? Is it good or bad? It's both. It's both. All right? And if you think it's one or the other, then you don't see the Bible clearly. Amen. It's good. It's undefiled in the marriage bed. The marriage bed. Not the guest lodge bed with your girlfriend. It is not good there. Well, same thing. No, it's not the same thing. It's destructive. It will ruin your life. It will kill your life. It will ruin everything about you. So God warns. All right? And there sometimes people, all they hear is the warning, and then they get married and they're still afraid of sex. Yeah. That happens in Christian circles. All right. So money, is money good or bad? It really is neither. It is absolutely neither. Okay. Pastor Mosasono in Soweto, when he was here, he made this statement to a group of leaders. And he said, money does not ruin anyone. It makes you more of who you already were. Okay. And, you know, I've seen people do this, you know. Oh, man, I can't wait to have 10 million kwacha. Oh, it's going to be awesome. Boy, I tell you what, I am going to give. You wait. When I have 10 million kwacha, I am going to give like a mad person, you know. They don't. They won't. You just become more of who you already are. Covetous, greedy, fearful, stingy. Yeah. You just become more of who you already are. If you enjoy sin with a little bit of money, woo, boy, are you going to enjoy sin with a lot of money? A lot more options. A lot more options. You're going to do it more. Amen. And if you're a loving, kind, generous person who loves to make a difference in the life of other people and you have more money, guess what? You're going to be more of that person. You're going to have more of a chance to express what's in your heart. Amen. So, I am excited to study the Bible with you. But I want to caution you, don't be what James said, that we hear the word and then we just kind of go and live the way we used to live. All right. We hear the word, we accept it, and then we live it out. Okay. You know, Mark chapter 4 talks about the different conditions of our heart, like soil. And not every soil produces the word of God. And so God wants to produce his design and his purpose for your financial life. But it means we have to get rid of the weeds. We can't have a hard heart where the seeds just bounce off of. Okay. We need to be willing to listen, receive it, and allow the Holy Spirit to bring it to the fruition that God wants. I couldn't find this exact quote, but it's Bishop Oyedepo in Nigeria. He said something like this: if God doesn't want me to have it, I don't want it. If I only want what God wants me to have. I thought that's a great philosophy when it comes to our financial life. God, I want yours. What you desire, that's what I desire. Amen. All right, let's pray. Let's talk to God. And we're not just really closing the service, but I had it on my heart that we would really ask the Lord to speak to us. And, you know, I don't know all of your situations. I don't know your past, some of you. I don't know maybe what you're battling with in your mind or your beliefs. But boy, the Holy Spirit does, doesn't he? And he is the great, mighty teacher sent from God to reveal truth to us from the Bible. And I want us to ask God to teach us, for us to come up higher for his purposes, for his kingdom's sake. Father, we come to you, Lord, and we just pray. And I'd ask you, just start talking to God. You can be as loud or as quiet as you would like to be, but let's talk to him. Father, we come to you and we humbly submit to your word and to your ways. Father, we thank you for your holy written word. We thank you that your word is forever settled in heaven. And Father, as we approach your word during this time, Lord, may your word not only be settled in heaven, but settled in our hearts. Father, many of us, Father, many, and I certainly have been there. Lord, we've had great disappointment in this area of our life. Frustration. Father, there may have been times where we thought we were doing everything that we knew and it actually went backwards. And we wondered, where were you? It seemed like it was almost better when we didn't know you. Father, help us. Lord, we know that you are light and that your word is light and it illuminates our path. And so, Father, this is it's an important area of our life for you to be glorified in, for you to shine in. And Lord, we ask that that would happen. Father, speak to us, teach us. We come with open hearts. Father, none of us in this room, Father, not anyone, regardless of our age, Lord, no matter who's going to be presenting the Bible, Lord, none of us are experts, but you are. And so we ask you to help us and to teach us. And Father, we thank you for the good, acceptable, and perfect will that you have. Lord, if that's not what we're experiencing today, Lord, we thank you that it's still possible. It is still your mind. It is still your intention. Father, we thank you so much. Help us. And Lord, I also pray that, Lord, on the other side of what you want to do, Lord, the ministries in this nation that will be fully funded by Zambians, Father, the churches that will be built, the orphanages that will be raised up, fully funded by Zambians who are walking in your financial plan and your will. Father, I thank you for homes and marriages. Father, I thank you for kids that go to school and stay in school because there's enough finances, Father. Father, I pray for Christians that, Lord, you allow them to work with you financially, Lord, but there's a great humility about their life. Father, that money does not hurt them nor corrupt them, nor does it ruin their life or marriage, Father. It doesn't lead to sin. It doesn't lead to girlfriends out of your will, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we love you, we love you, we love you. Thank you, Father. Just while we're praying, I'm reminded of the words to this song. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word. And that's what God is going to be inviting you to do as we study the Scriptures together. Is that when we see it, is to say, you know what, Lord? I trust you. I trust you. Oh, it's going to be so sweet, so wonderful because of what He has for you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, use us like never before. Lord, make us a greater extension of your kingdom, of your will, and of your light. Thank you, Lord. Lord, where we've been disappointed, where maybe we've blown it, Father, thank you for great, great mercy. Your mercies are new every morning, Father. And Lord, where we've been wrong, where we've sinned, where we haven't obeyed you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for mercy, forgiveness, and grace for a new way. Empowerment for a new life. We love you today, Father. We love you today. With every head bowed, every eye closed, we looked at today at just one area of so many areas that God has for your life, a plan and a purpose. See, He created you. He designed you. You were formed by Him. You were formed to be in His family, to be known by Him, to be connected to Him. If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, what happened was you were formed by Him, but you're not close to Him. You're not in His family. Well, how did that happen? It happened because of sin. Sin separated us from God. Adam's sin, Adam and Eve, but our sin as well. But God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, for and because of our sin. And when He went to the cross, it wasn't a tragedy, it wasn't a mistake. It was on purpose by God. And He was punished for our sin. All the wrong things we've ever done, Jesus bled and He died and He was spit on and people wounded Him and ultimately He died. See, that was supposed to be us. But because God loves you so much, He did not want you to have to pay the price for your sin. So He let His Son do it. And He accepts that. And now you must accept that. It's a gift, but every gift has to be received. And God has offered that to you. Now, you don't receive the gift of salvation, a new life, by going to church or being baptized. You don't receive that gift from going to a class, nor by being a really good person. You do so by putting your faith in Jesus Christ, what He did for you personally. See, I went to a church and I knew about Jesus, but I didn't know Him, never received Him. Jesus said that to as many as receive Him, they become the sons, the children of God. So today, receive Him. Accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're like a prodigal son or daughter. You're away from your father. Oh, but you can come home today. Your Father will receive you. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus. I've never accepted Him. Or I'm very far away from Him. I'd like to pray with you. And today your life will be different forever. The life of God will be yours. So that we can pray together wherever you are. Just simply lift up your hand and say, you know what, that's me. I want to accept Jesus Christ. Just lift it up real, real high. Just wave it at me. Just lift it up real, real high. Thank you so much. And there in the back, thank you. Who else? Just be bold. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Boy, I would just plead with you. Don't wait another second. Receive Jesus today. Before we pray, anybody else? Just lift up your hand. Just wave it at me. Say, that's me. Thank you, sir. All right. Congregation, can we all stand to our feet? Let's all stand to our feet. If you lifted up your hand and you said, I want to receive Jesus Christ. I want to know him personally. I want to be in his family. Just grab whatever you might have brought with you to church, a handbag, a Bible. Just come and meet me up front. We're going to pray together. God is going to change your life. Let's give these folks a big hand as they're coming. He's a good God. He's a good God. Thank you, sir. Just come right here. We're just going to pray together. And God will do just what he said he'll do. He'll make us a new person. Now, maybe you didn't lift your hand, but you thought, I should have. And you realize you need to be here. Just come. We love you so much. God has a good plan for your life. Thank you so much, sir. God bless you. God bless you. Now, if I were going to hand this Bible to you as a gift, right, you would just reach out and receive it. And so that's what God has for you, a free gift, his new life and his love and his forgiveness. So just let's lift up one of our hands, just saying, God, I'm receiving this gift. Say this with me. Say, God, just say it out loud. God, I believe you love me. You sent Jesus to die for me. He was punished in my place. You raised him from the dead so I could know you. Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. I turn away from every wrong thing. I follow you now. Thank you, Jesus. I'm in your family. I belong to you. Amen. Amen. What a wonderful...